Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of what it means to have to have eternal life in us. Through the new birth, we have been united to the life that's in God, and we now have His life in us. In you, in your spirit, in your innermost being is the uncreated eternal life in God Himself. That life has already produced a tremendous transformation in your spirit. And we've looked at all these verses already. I'm not looking them up in the interest of time. I'm just kind of repeating and restating to get this hopefully to sink in. Before you bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, you were dead. You were physically alive, but on the inside of you there was death, an absence of the life of God. A sin nature was in you. You inherited it from great-great-granddaddy Adam. You were unrighteous. There was unrighteousness, unholiness in there. You were literally a child of the devil, and by nature, what you were by constitutional makeup, you were an object of God's wrath. But the entrance of God's life drove all that out, and now you are by nature a son or daughter of God. You didn't become God. You become a child of God, a literal son or daughter of God. You now partake of His life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, "We partake of His nature. His nature is life." John 1, 4 says, "In Him is life." Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am the life." You now partake of the life of God, and whatever's in that life is in you. There's righteousness and holiness in that life. You have been transformed from an unrighteous, unholy sinner who is a child of the devil to a holy, righteous son or daughter of God who is a partaker of the very life and nature of God. Now, we're making the point that that life is in us to empower us to live and walk as Jesus walked in this life. We must know what's in us, and we must believe what's in us in order to experience outwardly in our mind, emotions, and body the effects of this inward transformation. Ultimately, that life is going to transform every part of our being and will be fully conformed to the image of Jesus Christ as part of God's plan, according to Romans 8:29. Now, that's a whole lesson for another day, our complete conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. But that same life that changed your spirit is going to change all the rest of you, too. But right now, that life can empower us to live and walk even as Jesus walked. But we're making the point, like I say, that you have to know it and believe it. And we have an example of a man who did that in the Apostle Paul. He learned to live by the life of God in him through his union with Christ. He said he walked by faith and not by sight, and experienced outwardly the effects of this inward union with Jesus Christ. And we left off yesterday saying most of us walk by sight and not by faith, and we don't realize it. We get our information about the way things really are from how we feel. But we said, although you may feel weak, if you're born again, you have strength in you. What you feel is not the basis of your identity. The condition of your spirit is the basis of your identity, or who and what you really are. And your spirit is alive with the uncreated eternal life in God Himself. We don't deny that we feel weak. Our flesh feels weak. Our physical body, our minds, or our emotions. We don't deny that. And we don't even deny that we're weak in and of ourselves to deal with whatever we're facing. But faith recognizes that there's more to reality than sight and feeling, and that greater reality can and will change what we feel. See, the Bible is our evidence that the life of God is in us and that we are living by the life of God. Our evidence that we are and have righteousness, strength, patience, joy, health, whatever is in that life in us, our evidence for it is the Word of God. We live by what we feel. If we feel strong, then we believe we're strong. But as soon as we don't feel strong, then we don't believe we're strong anymore. That's all sight. That's all walking by sight. That's all basing your picture of reality on how you feel and what you see. But our evidence that we have and we are righteous, that we have and we are strong, that we have and we are patient, that we have and we are healed, our evidence is the Word of God. Now, last week we looked at Israel at the border of Canaan. And we made the point that they did not experience the will of God for them, which was that they go into the land and settle it. They didn't experience God's will for them because of unbelief. Unbelief is a polite way of saying no faith. And we looked at how they assessed themselves and their situation only in terms of what they could see and feel. And they concluded, we can't take this land. We see obstacles that are bigger than us, and we look like grasshoppers compared to them. We look like grasshoppers in our own sight and in their sight, and we're afraid, and we can't do it. That's all walking by sight. They did not take what God said into account at all. However, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, did enter the land. And we found out they did not deny that there were formidable obstacles in the land. They simply saw beyond it to reality as it truly is through God's word. They knew God was with them and for them, making them conquerors. And what they saw was changed by that greater reality. Now, friends, you and I are one step ahead of Joshua and Caleb. God is not just with us. God is in us through union. God is in us as a result of the new birth. And that greater reality will change what we feel and change what we see if we will believe what God says over and above what we see and feel. That's what faith is. Now, I'm not telling you all this to give you a gimmick or a formula that'll make something happen. Just say the right words the right number of times and I'll be okay. See, and I throw this in here because that's how a lot of people listen to Bible teaching. Probably most of you have some kind of situation in your life. Maybe it's a serious or desperate situation, and people, you included, are desperate to find an answer. So people tend to just listen to hear the technique that'll solve the immediate crisis. There's no such thing. It doesn't work like that. Your view of reality has to change. And when your view of reality changes, or the way you see things changes, when you begin to see things the way God sees them, then you're in a position of faith. And it's faith that accesses the unseen power of God. Now, that's a whole lesson for another day. But I just want to emphasize, I'm trying to change your perception of reality through the Word of God so that you begin to live in agreement with the way things really are. Not just try to work some formula of saying something this correct number of times and not saying something. A lot of times people reduce this to just don't say you're weak and you'll be strong. Well, that's coming out of fear and works. You're afraid if you say you're weak, something bad will happen. And you're hoping that if you just say you're strong enough times, it'll make something change. No, your view of reality has to change. And in connection with our topic for this week, here's reality. The condition of your spirit is the basis of your identity, not how you look, not how you feel, but the condition of your spirit. And you, the man or the woman on the inside, are alive with the uncreated life of God. You are filled with the substance and the being of God. The life of God is in your spirit. And your spirit fills your body. We discussed that a couple of weeks ago. Luke 16, I don't have time to read it, but Jesus described what people look like apart from their body. They're fully human. They've got arms and legs and toes and a head, a body. Your spirit, the invisible part of you, fills your body. You are bigger on the inside than on the outside. And the greater one, God, the greater one is in you by his life and by his spirit. You're a lot bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. And the condition of your spirit is the basis of your identity. That has to become your perception of reality, the way you see things. Because if your perception of reality changes, the way you act will change. Because what you believe will change. You'll begin to look at things and you'll see, yes, this is huge. And this problem is way bigger than me in and of myself. But I'm in union with Almighty God, and I'm a lot bigger on the inside than I am on the outside, because God, the greater one, is in me. Now, this leads to what we want to deal with for the next couple of days. When people hear something like this, and they go, okay, okay. And then they try to make something happen or to produce the experience of Christ as our life. But you have to understand, it's not up to us to make something happen. It's like we try to grunt out strength or we try to grunt out health. But it's not up to us to make something happen. It's up to us to know what has changed in us, what's in us because we're born of God, and it's up to us to believe it. Jesus used the example of a vine and a branch to describe our relationship to him. We've made reference to this quite a bit in the past few weeks. There are three-word pictures in the New Testament that are used to describe our relationship to Jesus now that we're born again. Vine and branch, head and body, and husband and wife. And all three depict union and shared life. Now, let me throw in a little caveat right here. These various analogies of our union with Christ, they all fall short because we're talking about an infinite God who unites himself to finite beings. So every example does fall a little bit short if you try to take it too far. But we can still get helpful insight. In the example of a vine and a branch, fruit is outward evidence of the life within. A tomato vine produces tomato fruit on the branch. Fruit, the tomato, is outward evidence of the life within. But the branch doesn't have to make the fruit grow. It just has to be united to the vine. That's the point Jesus is making in his example, and we'll look at it tomorrow. If you're in union with me, fruit will grow. That's the point. If we try to take the analogy too far, it falls short. But you have God in you to produce fruit. We'll pick it up here tomorrow. Amen.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.